everyone, welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I'm sharing a conversation I recently had with writer, director, producer Allison Starlock. She was first on the show back in December 2022 when her first feature-length film, The Apology, a Christmas horror movie, was released on Shudder. And today we're talking about her new short that she just made called Pickup Time. We talked about how filming that was and what the process was for writing it as well. And then we also talked about how she focused on vulnerabilities that happen on everyday activities and the importance of having a filmmaking community in LA, and what her favorite horror movie of the last year was, even though it wasn't technically a horror movie. It's a great conversation, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Just a reminder that if you want to join our Patreon, you can click the link in the show notes, and for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to early episodes, a monthly newsletter, and more. I'd love to have you over there. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with Allison Starlock. Hey, Allison, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm good, Allison. How are you?
I'm so good. It's very rainy here today, but it's perfect to talk about horror movies.
Yeah, I think it's very cute that we both have rainy days. It's like we're matching from across the country.
I know, and we have the same name. It's
both
very
brunettes, although apart from my blue, my natural color, of course, is brunette, not blue.
I thought it never rained in LA. That's what I was always told.
We are not equipped. Yeah, when it does, we are not equipped. Yeah, we really aren't. Oh, it's really sad.
Are you guys like out like salting when it rains?
I'm not, but definitely some of my neighbors, because I live in such a suburb that it's practically rural. So there is like always like sandbag alert and stuff. It's like, wow. Yeah. So it gets a little crazy out here sometimes, but I like it because I like cozy writing weather, and LA doesn't have a lot of that. So I like when it happens.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a excuse to stay inside.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You've been a guest before, but for everyone who hasn't listened to that episode from back in 2022, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a writer, director, and sometimes producer, and I wrote and directed my first feature, The Apology, which you can watch on Hulu, Shudder, AMC Plus, VOD, Blu-ray, etc. Or you can come over to my house if I know you. And then I've written a whole bunch of scripts that have placed in various contests. And I have a short film that I just finished that I just submitted to film festivals. And I live in the LA area with my daughter and my husband, who is an editor and writer.
Awesome.
So, yeah. There you go.
Keeping it in the family.
Yep. Always.
So just in case people don't remember what your favorite horror movie was, why don't you tell me what your favorite scary movie is again?
Oh, my favorite scary movie is The Shining, but like most horror fans, it pains me to even pick one or to pick 10 or to pick 100. So yeah.
Awesome. So like you said, you're a writer and director and sometimes producer, and you wrote and directed the 2022 horror movie, The Apology, which came out right before the holidays back in 2022, which is very appropriate since it takes place around Christmas time.
Yep.
But you just finished shooting a short called Pickup Time. I watched it yesterday, and for such a short film, short, you could say, there are some twists and turns in it. What was the process like for writing it and shooting it?
Sure. So just for the listeners, yes, this film is 4 minutes long. It's a little baby short. We had been going through, I finished The Apology. We put it out, like you said, at Christmas time, 2022. I was working on some other things to make a second one. And then the strike happened, the Writers Guild, and then the SAG strike happened. And so, of course, nothing could happen. And so finally, kind of towards the end of it, I was like, a bunch of my friends had been making short films, like micro budget, nobody's crossing any lines, kind of, you know, in their homes, kind of short films. And I was like, really need to make something just for my, you know, for my soul, or whatever, just to kind of get out of my head and get into, you know, actually making something. So I made myself spend a Saturday writing a bunch of short films and submitted them to my writers group to say, is any of this a film? Like, I don't know anymore. And so, because I hadn't written a short in a long time. And I've been working on features, all these complex things that I would also direct. It's just a different, very different kind of process. And so I sent them to my writers group, and we had a meeting, and they said, this one is a great opening, and this one is a great shot, and this one is a film. So that's the one that I decided to make, and it's called Pickup Time, and it's about a mom who is rushing to get home to put away her groceries before she goes to pick up her daughter for school, and something pretty heinous gets in the way, and she navigates it in a way that you might not expect. So that is basically what the film is about. And I produced it myself entirely, basically, like with lots and lots of favors, but it was really fun to just make something. We literally made it at my house with my friends. I cast my friends. I worked with a DP that I'd never worked with before, and so he was a new friend, Sam Gove. And it was just really fun to pull favors together and just make something very homegrown again, because I had had the privilege with The Apology of making a union film with incredible veteran SAG actors and IATSE crew, and all, shout out to IATSE. And so it was a very different experience. It was such an incredible learning curve to learn how to make something at that level. But it was really nice to go back to making something that was like, I have conjured this from my imagination and my actual house. So it was really, it's very empowering, I think, sometimes to do both levels, right? So to make something that you can pull out of your own home, out of your own people, your tribe, your village, and then also to have something where it's like this incredible level of collaboration that happens at the level of a feature like The Apology.
Oh, that's awesome. So you filmed it at your house?
Yes, in my front yard. Luckily, I live in a cul-de-sac, so there are exactly three other houses, and all of my neighbors are very kind, to the point where I didn't even feel I had to ask permission. I just informed them, which, if you are a filmmaker, you know how extremely rare that is. Usually, it is a whole process. If you're filming exteriors, you're either hoping the cops don't come, or you're going through a whole permit situation and begging for favors. And instead, I just wrote them and said, "We're doing it on this day. If you'd like to come watch, you can, but FYI, there's some horror stuff involved." And because none of my neighbors are horror people, they're just like, you make the films, they're very, very sweet people, but that's not their scene. So, yeah. So, and then we did some like ADR and some sound design stuff that was inside the house, because it all takes place in the front yard. So,
You do a lot with such a short time, and such, there's not even really any dialogue. There's like a couple of lines at the end, but
yeah.
yeah. Where did the idea for this short come from?
Well, I had been a stay-at-home mom for a long time before I made The Apology, and I was always writing, but that was The Apology was like this huge experience to go from having been staying home and writing and trying to make things, but not really pulling anything off yet, because my daughter's autistic, and we had spent a lot of years together going through therapies for her and advocating for her. And so the schedule for these things would get very intense, and when she was littler, her rigidity around schedule and expectations was really severe. And so if I was late to things, it was like one of my supreme fears. I was like, what if I'm late and I let her down? She's gonna like lose her rest of her day and probably tomorrow. Like, she'll just be so upset. Now she's so much more grown, and she's 13 now, and she's a lot more like comfortable, and she's just such a tough cookie. So it's just a different situation. But that's where this came from, was this idea that I think there's vulnerability that happens in the everyday activities. I've had that happen where I'm like, oh, I've left the trunk open and my front door open to put groceries away. That's not very smart. And so I thought, oh, that'd be great if there was a real problem that came from that. And then on top of that, you're mostly just thinking, I'm going to let my kid down. Because I think every parent fears that kind of all the time. But I think when you have a kiddo that has the extra needs, it's an extra level of fear. So I like to try to write a lot of things that have to do with that sort of domestic sphere, especially around a woman's POV, because I feel like there's not never enough of that.
That's so interesting. Did any horror movies inspire you while you were writing or filming this?
Oh, sure. Let's see, what were the comps for this? It was such a short film that it was like, I kind of like, usually I'm a very comp girl. Like, I'm very like, okay, we have 15 comps. Let me explain them to you. Because they don't always make sense. I like to blend genres. I like to sort of, shake it up. And so usually my accomplice has involves a lot of explanation because it doesn't make sense to say that the apology is Black Christmas meets Steel Magnolias. Like nobody would have understood that before potentially having seen the film. So yeah, let's see. For this one, no, not really. I mean, I think it's like anything else, it's all seeped in, so you don't really know. But this one, I wasn't as much of a conscious thing. It was more once we made it, we were like, oh yeah, it's kind of like this and like this. So yeah.
Nice. So is it just one day of filming in at
It
your
was
house?
just, yeah, it was one easy day of filming. Like amazing. It was just so, it was such a healing thing. And that sounds like the apology was some awful experience. It wasn't. It's just that it's very intense to make a feature, and especially to make a feature that's all one location pretty much, that is such intense material. And it was my first one. So it was intense in that sense. And so it was nice to just make something that you shot out in a day. And, you know, my husband edited it. And so we worked at home together on that. And, you know, just a lot of friends that I was working with. And so it was really cool.
Awesome. Isn't every film shoot just one day long, right? They're all that easy, right?
Well, in the apology, we had 16 principal
Oi.
photography days, and we had one for
<Oy.
Wisconsin. And that is, yes, exactly. See, you
laughs>
understand. Yeah, 16 for a feature. Oh, good Lord. There's like stunts, there's makeup effects in that film, there's tons of dialogue, there's tons of physical business. Everything that, like, there's even a dog. Like, there's just a lot of things that get in the way of like getting your day easily. So, yes, very different experience.
And you had told me before that you're shopping it around to festivals right now.
Yes.
Nice.
So yeah, so we'll see what happens. But even if it doesn't, I'm like, obviously I hope so, but I hope so a little bit more for my crew and my cast, because I feel like I already got what I wanted out of the experience, which was to have a little bit more practice, have that kind of like come back to just, you know, this is the one single goal, is this one simple film that we're gonna make. So that was really, I think it took me about 2 months in total to make the whole thing.
Oh, wow. That's really
Yeah.
interesting.
Oh, and the other part of this too, I should say, is that it was part of a collective called Just Scare Me here in Los Angeles, where there's a bunch of folks who they give a it's like a deadline. So everybody has 2 months to make a short. And if you don't make the short, then you owe everybody $100. And so it's just like an accountability thing, but it's also really nice because everybody's just sort of helping each other make each other's films. And there's everybody who's like never been on a set versus like folks who have totally made features. Like, so there's a whole range of experience and knowledge and that sort of thing. But it's nice because everybody kind of would just jump on and help. And so I had helped with a couple of shorts before that, and it was so nice, again, just to kind of be like, I tend to be the AD when I'm, because I'm like, I like to joke I'm the like mom or the grown up in the room, even though it's full of grown ups. Not denigrating anybody, but I think because of, you know, the apology and some other experiences where I'm like, oh, I really like being the person who's like, okay, you can make your choice, but you have 1 hour. What are you gonna do? So it was nice to then make this, and then, you know, they do a little screen, a very informal screening just for the members of it. It's not a public screening when the round is finished. So I hope to make some more with that group. It was really fun to do. So I feel like I hope that it's in festivals. It would be really fun to go and be around other filmmakers and watch their stuff and show this off. But if not, I already feel like I won the, you know, indie movie making lottery. Getting to make it was really fun.
Oh, that sounds so nice. That group sounds awesome. I wish
Yeah,
there
it's
was
really,
one like that in New
yes.
York.
I know. And we also, over email, we had talked too. There's a really great group here in LA that just started about a year ago. I think they literally just call themselves Women in Horror. But it's like a meetup group, and it was started by Shannon Brown and Anastasia Washington, who are both wonderful filmmakers in their own right. And they are basically putting these meetups together every month. And then they also started adding, you'll think this is funny, they started adding all gender meetups every few months because the boys left felt left out. And we were
Oh.
like, oh, how's that feel?
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
And so they were like, haha, you're right, fair. But they still did it. So it's been really nice, like, again, this sort of community between the apology folks and Just Scare Me and Women in Horror. And then also there's a Dead Right Horror trivia you may have heard of that happens here in LA. And it's full of horror scholars and journalists and filmmakers and just, you know, mega nerds. But most of the folks in there are like making things. And that was my first sort of foray into the community, really. And so It's just nice to feel like you have all, I feel very fortunate to have all of this sort of community around me to, engage with and have fun with and go see, have like last summer I was like, okay, let's 20 of us go see the new Insidious movie. Okay, now let's all read each other's scripts and, all that kind of stuff. It's just really nice.
I love it. The horror community is the best. My friends and I
Yes.
have joked about, not joked about, but pondered starting like a women in horror group here in New York. So maybe we'll have to do that.
Yes, yes. Yes, I highly recommend. Well, even, I think it's any level of community is always really good. It's too
Yeah.
hard doing what we do, but everything's hard in my opinion. So, what's the difference? I guess I'll do the thing that you love, but having community is everything that gets you through. So,
Yeah, definitely. So after you circulate pickup time to festivals, do you plan on putting it online where people can eventually watch it?
oh, absolutely. Yes. So we will see how it goes with this round. And once we're done with that, then we will definitely put it. I'll put it on my website, on YouTube, all that good stuff. And you can also on my YouTube channel, you can also see my short film that I made before the apology that I made actually with the producer of the one of the producers of the apology, Stacey Jorgensen. She is the lead actress in this film. It's called Shh. And yeah, so you can check that out too if you want to see a short in the meantime.
Awesome. So, are there any other themes or ideas around motherhood that you'd like to explore in your next film?
Oh, absolutely. I'm writing right now, I'm writing a very feminist slasher kind of Western sort of thing, and which I obviously can't talk about too much detail, but it's like also because I'm still figuring it out. But it's very much having to do with this idea of how many women feel like they have paid into a sort of social contract of like, I'm going to take care of the children and I'm going to, give to my community and all of this stuff. But when that community feels like they've transgressed in some way, that they don't get that investment back. That, just basically I write a lot of things that have to do with like, the various, the multi injustices that happen to women, and especially with regard to things like gender parity and in the home. Like, I definitely think that obviously, I'm sure I will also write about reproductive rights and things like that. But I tend to write a lot of things that come from a very personal, like enraged place, and then put it into a sort of genre setting. So just about how many families are still massively unequal with the way that the partner, with cishet partnerships, with the way
Yeah.
that they go down, and especially when you look at things like how many like white Republican women still are voting against their own safety,
I know.
their own survival. It's just so shocking to me. And I wanted to write something that was also a little bit about how somebody could come out of that, through a slasher.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds so interesting. I hope we get to see that sometime soon. That would
Thank
be
you. Thank
amazing.
you.
Have you seen Give Me an A, the shorts collection about abortion?
No, but I need to go
Oh.
so I will check that out. Thank
It's
you.
on Amazon. I think you have to rent it. It's on VOD, but it's good. I saw some of them at Brooklyn Horror Film Festival last year, or 2 years ago
Wonderful.
rather. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I love anything with the social issues. I mean, and I think especially because it's the personal is political, right? The more personal a film feels, not every time, obviously, but the more personal a film feels, that's more engaging to me. And that's certainly my obsession is like, hi, I'd like to rip my heart out and show it to you in extreme detail. So I like doing stuff like that. I'm also writing another thing that's a lot more on the nose in a way about the being an autism mom. And it's sort of a sci-fi becomes a haunted house kind of
Oh.
idea. So
Oh.
just again, yeah. So trying to blend these genres in this way where it's like it feels like, trying it, sort of metaphorical in a way. It's like what's going on with me and the people I care about and the things that I'm looking at and disturbed by and try to put it in a
Yeah.
familiar place in a way. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. The movie that I was telling you before we started recording that I'm watching right now, You'll Never Find Me on Shudder. It kind of I feel like it's a little bit about like how hard it is to be a woman, 'cause she
Nice.
comes to this random guy's house in a storm and she's like, "Hi, can I use your phone?" And then like he starts
Oh.
getting mad that she's being like suspicious of him.
Oh.
So,
Right.
yeah. Yeah. And my TikTok algorithm, since you were talking about the unequal division of labor and hetero relationships, I've fallen into the TikTok algorithm of women who are like, we're just not dating anymore because we're not getting any benefit from men. So.
Yeah, I think that's really fascinating because I've been with my husband since, I like to say it like this, since 1998. So it's always fun to be like, oh, we got together when the decades started with different numbers. So it's been a very long time. And so we have definitely had to kind of grow together and learn together and change together. But I definitely can see why a lot of women are just like, you know, this is bullshit. This is, you know, we've been sold a bill of goods here. I feel like there's a lot of like, you know, gaslighting isn't quite the right word in this regard, but since it's a fun one to throw into the mix, but just that feeling of like, oh, you should definitely marry and have children because that is going to be so satisfying. It's not necessarily for everyone. It is for me. I adore my kid. She was like one of my dreams come true, but she's one of my dreams come true, right? So it's like we should make sure that women have the awareness of what they're getting into and not tell them that everything's going to be sunshine and roses and you're going to have some full definite partnership if you don't know how to build it and they don't either. You know, if men are not also raised to think about these things, you know, the mental load, emotional labor, all of those kinds of things that are less quantifiable. Like, you know, if you're at a, like I wrote a scene the other day that was like, everybody at this sort of, you know, I'm going to be a little bit catchy or, you know, a little bit secretive, but it's like this sort of family party. And it's like all the men are sitting there having an engaged conversation while the women are distracted. They're trying to talk while they're supervising the kids and stopping them from hitting each other and, you know, don't have any more sugar, you know, or whatever. And it's like that feels like too often the reality. Luckily, my circle of friends, that is a lot more rare, but there's still some of that stuff that's going on. And it's like, let's learn from this. And I think part of learning from it is people saying, no, I'm not doing that. If you're not going to show me that you kind of set things up in a way that's fairer, then no. I mean, the motherhood tax is really real, you know? Like, I think we have to be really upfront about that, especially with how heinous it's gotten in terms of our reproductive rights being stripped away. So it's like, oh, am I supposed to, you know, risk my life and my livelihood and my health and everything else for something you tell me I should want? No. You risk those things because it matters to you, not society or whatever. So I could obviously soapbox about it forever, but yeah, those are the topics that I think are really fascinating.
I couldn't agree more. So, thank you for coming on and talking about pickup time. Since we haven't spoken in a little over a year, do you want to tell
Yeah.
me what your favorite horror movie was that you saw in the last year?
Oh goodness, yes. Well, you know, I have a very broad version of what horror movies are. So I'm going to pick something that's maybe a little less obviously horror. I really loved this movie out of Australia last year called The Royal Hotel. I don't know
Okay.
if you saw it. It's
I did
directed
not
by,
see it.
oh, you'll love it. Just based on our few conversations and me being a fan of your podcast, I think you would love it. It's directed by, I believe, written as well. Forgive me if I've missed another writer, Kitty Green, who made a movie called The Assistant with Julia Garner a couple of years
Yep,
ago.
I saw that.
Yeah, which is also not a horror movie, kind of a horror
Yeah.
movie.
Women
She
will get
makes,
it.
yes, it feels like I think, you know, both of these films feel like the sort of everyday pressure and horror and sort of tension being a woman, and in both cases, especially being a young woman, like young, pretty woman, you know, like these sorts of very specific, because of course there's tensions to every stage of your life. As any person, but especially I think from my, you know, what I know of, which is just being a woman, obviously, but it's like she just does this incredible job of like ratcheting up tension of from everyday little like the sort of microaggressions or just the ignorance, you know, just the like the way that we try to explain things away and, you know, you're making too big a deal out of that. He's fine. He's fine. Everything's fine. And the assistant was so satisfying in a way because it wasn't satisfying. And so that was so, I was so impressed with that film. And then, but I actually saw it after I saw The Royal Hotel. I saw The Royal Hotel and I was like, oh, I love this so much because it is so about this feeling of like managing men, you know, trying to manage them so that they are not safety risk, so that you're not hurting their feelings, so that you're not, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of that kind of stuff. But these, so it's basically about these women who are on, they're very young, like 25-ish, and they're on a adventure in Australia. And so they run, that they realize that one of them or both of them really are running out of money. And so they have to get a job. And of course, that's tricky when you don't live there. And so they go to like this employment agency and they get a shit job. It's like, you can go be bartenders at this really way out in the, forgive me if this is not the correct term, outback of Australia at this bar called the Royal Hotel. And so it's basically just like, this place is literally in the middle of nowhere. There's no buildings or anything around it. They have to get there by bus and a car. Somebody picks them up. So they have no transportation. And if you've ever worked anywhere where you don't have transportation and you're in the middle of nowhere, it's unsettling. Like, it's very like you lose your agency kind of immediately. I did that once for a film, and it was, I was never scared. It was a very healthy, you know, it was one of my friend's films, but it was still just that thing where you lose some of your agency. You feel like a kid again. And so I just think this film really does so much with all of that kind of trying to find your agency when you don't really have it. And it's just incredible. And it's got Julia Garner, it's got Hugo Weaving, and one of my new favorite actors because of this movie now, I'm like, I like top of my list, wish list to work with. His name's Daniel Henschel. He was also in The Babadook, and he was the serial killer in Snowtown Murders, or Snowtown, depending on who you talk to, which is a very brutal serial killer movie. But it's also, that one is all wonderful, and is also about how a very low income, sort of hopeless neighborhood gets sort of taken advantage of by this predator. And yeah, so that was probably my favorite from last year. But again, that's maybe a treat, a little bit of a cheat, because it's more of a thriller, I guess. But I was so horrified by it. I was just like with it the whole time. That was really very scary. Let's see. I have to look at my list. I have my like little list of like favorite movies from last year. But yeah, so I love that one. I've been, you know, there's always, it's so funny. Everybody always says, what do they always say? They always say, this is a great year for horror, or this is a terrible year for horror. And I always think, it depends on where you're looking, man. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is a great year for horror? Like, no, you know, it's always a great year for horror, in my opinion. So I'm trying to figure out where I put that. But yeah, so I'm not ready for that answer, I guess. Sorry about that.
No, I think the Royal Hotel, I think that counts. Thrillers are horror movies.
Yeah,
So
there you go. There you
yeah,
go.
I love it. And then what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
The Wolf Man. I'm a huge Lee Whannell fan, so I
Nice.
cannot wait for the Wolf Man. Literally, there was like, they posted a picture of him with a slate, and I was like, this is Christmas morning.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that going to be out this year, though? Are they going to finish
Yeah.
that up?
Yeah, it's supposed to be right before Halloween. Not that I've been
Oh.
tracking it.
Oh, amazing. He did such an amazing job with The Invisible Man. So I can't wait to
Yes.
see what he does with this.
I love The Invisible Man. That's been like a constant influence. I kind of went sci-fi with this latest thing, partly because of The Invisible Man, because of how much I love it, and the way that that one, an Upgrade, and a bunch of these other things, where it's like they're calling it grounded sci-fi these days, where it's just basically like, not everything looks Blade Runner, but enough is different. You know, I think that's really fascinating, because it does feel like we live in a time where it's constantly evolving in these little ways. So it still looks like it looked about 20 years ago, but it's still like, oh, except we can do this and we can do that. You know, we can carry everything around, and I can do everything on this phone that I'm waving as though people can see that. So yeah, that's, I think that's my, the one that I'm most looking forward to. How about you? What should I be keeping an eye out for?
Oh my God. Hold on. Let me see. I
I
can't.
know. There's so much good stuff coming. There's so much stuff that I really want to see. Late Night with the Devil, that just came out, and Immaculate, that just came out.
I'm gonna try to see that tomorrow. I kind of want to see the first Omen. I don't really have high hopes for it, but
But
it
it's an
might be
Omen
okay.
movie, and you just can't help yourself. I totally get
Yeah,
it.
A Quiet Place Day One takes place in New York City, and
Oh.
the main character, Lupita Nyong'o, is the main character, and she's carrying a cat who I think survives. So.
Oh. Well, then there you go. You've got, then they've got both of us, because I know you are also a big cat lady. I
Yes.
am as well. And I try to, I try to put my cat Obviously, he's not going to be in the films, but I always use him as inspiration. He's always in everything to some degree. Although with the
Love it.
apology, it was my nephew dog that he wasn't my
Oh.
actual dog. It was inspired by him. I asked them, I put in the script, can I have a three-legged, it's going to be a three-legged black dog. And so I didn't think that they were going to do that. And then my line producer's like, okay, Allie, I think we've got a three-legged black dog for you and you'll love it. She's also blind and deaf. And I'm like, what?
She's not gonna be good at following lines,
Was just like,
following directions.
so we're gonna terrify her, but it was like already happening. And she was fine. She was very happy and she was with her person. And so she was fine with it. But it was just, as far as I can tell, I don't know dog. But anyway, it's always about I think animals always instantly make a movie more alive. And we got to respect our fluffy peeps. So yeah, that's always my fave.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok, although I really need to actually post things on TikTok, but Instagram, and I'm still on X slash Twitter. I hate calling it X, but I guess we have to be technical. And I am Allison Starlock, AliSonStarlocke. And yes, Star is my actual middle name. My brother's name is Liberty.
Oh my God, I love it. That's so cool. Oh. Well, thank you again so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thank you for having me on, Allison. Have a good one.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Allison Starlock, and thanks again to Allison for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find her on the internet in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.